Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message. Y'all doing good tonight? Hallelujah. You know, I was, last Sunday or a couple Sundays ago, and I was in the office kind of getting some stuff ready for the usher greeter meeting, and there was just all kinds of activity going on in the foyer, you know. Yeah, I could hear all kinds of voices and people just being themselves, you know, people being excited, people being, you know, all that stuff. And I turned to somebody in the office and I said, you know what, we got the best church. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? We have the best church. All the people, all the working parts, all the personalities, all the gifts, everything coming into one underneath one roof is just an awesome thing. Amen? And so I love you guys. And it is always, always an honor to be able to minister from this pulpit. Always an incredible honor. So humbling. I was thinking about that yet last night. Just an incredible honor to be able to minister to you guys tonight. And we're going to have a good time. The Holy Spirit's got some good stuff that he wants to bring forth. But like Johnny was saying, Pastor's in Sarasota. He's doing good. And he's just walking and talking with the Lord on the beach. So basically the same thing he always does, except the location's a little different with the water hitting the beach. But we love pastors, and they're going to be back for Sunday service. Amen. You ready to get going? Well, I have something on my heart, and Mom kind of hit briefly on it, and it has to do with purpose. Purpose. And, you know, purpose is what you're created for. It's what was carved out for you, specifically for you, not for anybody else, just for you. I was thinking about that the other day. Who here gets their stuff tailored? Who gets clothes tailored? Women? Anybody? Brother Tim? Thank God for Brother Tim. you know Brother Tim gets those things tailored. Hallelujah. So everything fits them? Maybe it's my body type, because stuff doesn't just like flow with me. So I get, somebody was making fun of me a while back and when I told them, but I get a lot of stuff tailored. I get, like, T-shirts tailored. Because, you know, you wear them untucked, right? And if they're too long, it looks like a, you know, some kind of sundress. And if it's too short, you don't want that happening. Right, Matthew? So I want it to lay, I want it right just below my belt line. Can I get an amen? So I get my stuff tailored. I get my suits tailored. I get some shirts tailored. I get some pants tailored. And I was thinking about that, you know, in regards to purpose and about something that's designed specifically for you. You have been created. You have been put on this earth for something specific. Just like when I pick up my suit isn't going to fit anybody else when I pick it up from the tailor. The sizes and the dimensions have all been tailored, have been cut, have been moved. Fabric has been changed. And the only person that it's going to fit is me. Amen? And before you were born, guess what God was doing? He was moving and he was cutting and he was changing and he was getting things ready for you. For your purpose. For your design. What you are supposed to do on this earth. Can I get an amen? And so the definition of purpose is the reason something or someone was created for specifically. Something exists for something specific. I think about Jeremiah 29:11, and that's a verse that I minister on so often to the kids at Brooklawn, the orphanage that we go to every other week, to give those guys hope and to help them understand that the Holy Spirit has a plan and has a purpose for them. And that verse in the Amplified says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans to prosper you. They are good plans. There's no plan that God's going to give you that's going to run you into the dark, run you into problems, run you into issues. Every time that we follow the Holy Spirit, there's only light, there's only power, there's only increase, there's only more anointing. Amen? And so I want to be led by God. I want to be led by God in that design and for that perfect, that purpose. And you know, lately I've been seeing something. You know, purpose and destiny, they sound like such big words, right? Like they sound like, ooh, purpose, ooh, destiny. Right? Do they? Okay. And you see this, I've seen this in the body of Christ, and I was actually listening to somebody the other day. And I thought they were a minister, and I'm very watchful about what I listen to. But I thought it was somebody else, and it turned out somebody else was ministering, so I thought, you know, I'll give them a shot, see what happened. And it was like they were a life coach, and they actually said that. Now, here's a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they start talking about being a life coach. And I bring that up because the body of Christ, it seems like it's kind of melting with the world as far as purpose and as far as destiny. Amen. She went on to say that what gets me up in the morning is my passion for what I'm supposed to do. And that's about when I turned it off, because if I'm getting up for anything other than Jesus Christ, I've got an idol in my life. Can I get an amen? I wake up for Jesus. I wake up for Jesus. And I want things to be clearly defined. And I want to follow his divine purpose and not just a selfish ambition. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So as things go, as you see those two things coming together, we always want to understand that God has a specific plan for you. Amen? Mom was talking about having vision, and she was talking about walls being rebuilt, temples being rebuilt, and the fullness of God in us. And so I want to talk to you about that a little bit, the fullness of God, and what does that mean? So let's go to John 10:10. And this is another portion of scripture that I hit almost every other week with Brooklawn or at the orphanage. John 10:10. And we just want to start figuring out God's plan and his purpose for us. And this is going to be in the NASB. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Does it get more simple than that? That's pretty cut and dry. That's why I like that verse with those kids. Guys, there's a devil and there's a savior. There's good and there's bad. The devil wants to make it gray, but let me tell you, this is the way, there is a dividing line. There is a difference between the world and between God. But if you look at this at the end of the verse, I came that they might have life. Everybody say life. And have it more abundantly. Have it more abundantly. So the thought is, when I was growing up, my thought was that Jesus gives you life. And he does give you life, right? I mean, he's given us our natural life and he's given us our eternal life. But Zoe, that word life, is not just eternal life. It's all of his fullness. If it's all of his attributes. If you look up Zoe in the Greek, it is the fullness of God. The fullness of God. All of his majesty, all of his power, all of his anointing, all of his love and his mercy is in that word. It is him. It's his very being. It's his very essence. So when you read that verse, he came that you might have life. Yes, it's eternal life. But it's not just eternal life. It's a life full of his fullness that's eternal. Do you see the difference? Because if we're just hung up on eternal life by itself, then we're just sitting there waiting for, you know, the Lord to come back or waiting for us to pass away so we can get to heaven. Amen? But that's not the way it is. It's his, why would he give us his fullness if he didn't want us to do something with it? Amen? So his majesty, his glory, his power, his love, and his mercy. So if you go back to the Garden of Eden with Adam, he breathed his life into him. And I was thinking about that the other day. God in all of his glory, all of his majesty, all of his power, right? What did he do? He breathed into Adam. He breathed into Adam. He breathed his essence and his attributes and his very being into that body, into that dirt, and bam, there was life. And not just natural life, but God was inside of him. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we know that a very, very high price, could I get a water? Grab that water for me, Joshua. A very, very high price was paid for us to get that Zoe back. That same life that was breathed into Adam, we all know the price that was paid. Jesus Christ had to come on the cross and die, horrible death. But guess what happened? He did it, and we did it. Can I get an amen? So we have that Zoe life. Then you see Zoe, life, and have it more abundantly. Life and more abundantly. So it's not just this life that's self-contained in this box and can't move. There must be measures of what? Of Zoe life. Because he wouldn't say abundance if there couldn't be average or less than Zoe, right? He wouldn't use that adverb. I believe that's an adverb. Is that an adverb? Just kidding. He wouldn't use that adverb, right? So there are measures of Zoe. There are measures of his fullness that you're walking in. Not that you have. He's given you. You're complete in Christ. We know that, Colossians 2:10. But measures of that fullness that we're walking in. Can I get an amen? So your divine purpose, remember it's not worldly purpose, it's a divine purpose, runs parallel with the fullness of God or his grace. And so how do we walk in that fullness? How do I walk in the fullness of God? How do I walk? How do I use? How am I a good steward of the essence of God, the attributes of God, the power of God, everything that's been breathed into us when we got saved? How do I walk in that fullness? You guys want to know? You really want to know? Matthew 10:39. This is a verse that is near and dear to my heart. Because my mom, the very first Bible that she gave me, it had my name on it, and then it had this verse right below it. Right below it. Matthew 10:39. And this is in the NESB. They should have it up on the screen. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. I'm going to say that one more time. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. This life is not Zoe life. This life, if you look it up in the Greek, is psyche. Hopefully I said that right. Psyche. Or psyche. P-S-Y-C-H-E. It's where we get psychology. It's where you get psyche. That's the word this is talking about in the Greek. And you want to know the definition of that? This means the seat of your desires and affections. The seat of your desires and affections. Amen? I want to read you a quote talking about two different lives. You've got the Zoe life, and then you got your life. You've got his fullness, and then you've got your fullness. Amen? So in essence, what this is ultimately, the way I saw this verse, I read this verse, and I saw it a couple weeks ago, it was like, this is in essence, is like a trade. Two people sitting down at the table and figuring out what they got. So you sit down at the table with God, right? And he's coming in all of his glory, all of his majesty, all of his power, all of his anointing, everything he has, full love, full mercy, grace, all that stuff. And then you sit down at the table, right? And he starts the conversation. He says, okay, what you got? And I'm like, well, I got a little bit of selfishness in here. I got some pride. Amen. I shoot bogey golf. Right? Like, what am I bringing to the table? What am I trading? When I receive and I'm walking in this fullness, what do I have? I have nothing. And God says what? Across the table, he says, let me breathe my fullness into you. Let me give you my attributes. Let me give you my glory. Let me give you my power and my anointing. And that's the fullness that we want to walk in. Yeah. Amen? This verse is a trade. How many people think it's a good trade if we let God do what he's supposed to do? He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. There is a great quote, and I want to read this. I've got a couple quotes. I love quotes. And how many people know who Jim Elliot is? Jim Elliot was a missionary back in the 60s, I believe, a while back, and he was a missionary to a remote village in Papua New Guinea. And this village didn't know anything about Jesus, didn't have a church, knew nothing about God, and he flew as a pilot, and he flew into this village and was going to give them the gospel. And long story short, that same village that he flew into with the love of Jesus Christ ended up murdering him in that village. And so, above and beyond that, so he gets killed, and then years later, because of the seed that he sown in that village, other people very soon after that came in with the gospel again with that same message of deliverance, that same message of Jesus, and the entire village got saved because of his sacrifice. And his quote is this: he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep, talking about your life, to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Amen? Talking about Zoe life, talking about fullness. Because Jim Elliot is taking that crown that he got from basically being a martyr, and that carries over into eternity. And every single person, I believe, possibly in that entire country that gets saved is what? Just another crown. He's up there collecting crowns because of his sacrifice, because of his desire, because he gave up what he wanted to do and his comfort zone and flew into a village. Can I get an amen? Amen. To do what God wanted him to do. Psyche, or your life and God's life, the fullness, is the difference between self-ambition and divine purpose. Your life and God's life is the difference between self-ambition and divine purpose. You cannot walk, listen to this, you cannot walk in the divine purpose that God has for you without his divine power. You will not fulfill your destiny. You will not fulfill the call that he has on your life if you're trying to do it on your own. If you're trying to do it your way, if he gives you a word and then you kind of take it and you define it how you want to define it. Can I get an amen? We do it his way. Hallelujah. So many times in the Gospels, it's talking about psyche, or your life. Jesus talks about it a lot. If you look up, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you look up life, Jesus is talking about it all the time. And most of the time, it has to do with a choice. Amen? Luke 10:38, let's go there. Talking about a choice. And this is the infamous story of Mary and Martha. Pick it up in 38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation. Distracted with all her preparation. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Kind of getting on Jesus a little bit. Probably don't have my heart in the right place. Is it safe to assume that? Like, you know, Peter figured that out real quick. You don't rebuke the Messiah. Amen? Hallelujah. 41. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen, everybody say chosen, the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The difference between Zoe life, God's fullness, and your life is a choice. A choice by grace, not by works, but a choice by grace that we make. Can I get an amen? What we're doing, you know, and I think about in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I believe, verse 19, and it talks about, I put you before, God's talking to the nation of Israel, I put before you today, what is it? Life and death. And what's he say? He gives us the answer. Just choose life. And I think about that verse, and I don't think about life living, blood pumping, and death dying, decaying in the ground. I think about everything that those words represent. I think about life in general. I think about if, it, you know, and I think about this during my day, is that choice life or is it death? Is that glorifying God or is that glorifying the devil? Is that increasing me spiritually or is that going to pull away from things that God wants me to do? Amen? Choose life. He makes it easy. Choose life. Very simple. Devil tries to make it complicated. He tries to convolute things. Right? Very simple. Choose life or choose death. I say choose life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? You know, I think about choices that I've made in the past and the Holy Spirit has helped me, you know, work through those. You know, I remember it was probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. And I do not watch a lot of TV at all. I don't. But, you know, I was working, you know, the job. But in the fall, the hours started dropping a little bit, you know. And so I got home a little bit early, around 3:30. And so I turned the TV on. And of all channels, I landed on the Lifetime channel. Right? I don't know why you're laughing. I landed on the Lifetime channel. And to preface this, well, I'll keep going. And so I caught something caught my eye. And there were two shows when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, on Saturdays. Two shows that I could watch that were sanctioned, that were, you know, didn't have cursing. You didn't have to change the channel. It wasn't, you know, sexually suggestive. That was MacGyver. Can I get an amen? Anybody watch MacGyver? All right, MacGyver on Saturday night, bro. I mean, it was like, we got to eat our food and we got to get this TV on. What is he going to do today? He's got a paperclip, he's got string, and he's got Play-Doh, and he's going to break people out of a federal prison in, you know, Nicaragua, or whatever he does. Right? So that show. And then the other show that I watched was Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. I'm just being honest. Is it, we're Wednesday night crowd, right? Can I just be honest? I'm just bearing my soul to y'all. Is that all right? Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. How many of you remember that show? Dr. Mike, Sully, the preacher, the kids. You know, and there's always something happening in that little town. You know, there's always drama. There's something. And so I'm flipping through the channels. And it was like I saw Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and I'm 35-year-old male, adult. But it was like it took me back to a place, you know what I mean? It took me back to my childhood. And I thought, you know what? Is this show really as good as I thought it was, or is this just ridiculous? So I keep watching the show, and it's an hour long, right? So I get sucked into the show, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. You know, and Sully's like trying to find horse thieves. And, you know, somebody comes in with a spleen and Dr. Mike's got to remove the spleen immediately or they're going to go septic. And I mean, I'm just like, you know, can't wait to get through the commercial because I want to see how this thing ends. And it ends and it all, you know, it always ends, you know, perfect. Everything works out. This guy did this, but he ends up being okay. And then we find the horses and all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me. Come on. 35-year-old male. 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I click off the TV, and I'm like, oh, thank goodness, man. They got those horses, and she got the spleen out. You know, and I go to the refrigerator, and I'm going to get something out. And the Holy Spirit's like, you don't get that time back. And I thought, what? He said, you don't get that time back. That time, the hour that you just spent watching Sully and Dr. Mike and everything on Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, I can't give that back to you. That time is gone. Amen? And it made me realize the importance of what we choose and the decisions that we make. Now, is that show wrong in and of itself? No. Probably not. But what could I have been doing in that time? What could I have been? What in the Bible did God want to reveal to me during that whole? I mean, you give God 1 hour in the Bible in prayer, what in the world could he do? He could reveal all kinds of stuff to you. And so I bring that up because we want to make decisions back to choosing life and choosing what? Death. We want to make decisions that are going to create fullness of life in our lives and those who are around us. Amen? You go back to that verse in 42, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. Shall not be taken away from her. Death, this came to me, death is going to take something from you. When you pass from this life to the next, it's going to take things from you. What are you talking about? You're not taking your car. You're not taking your house. You're not taking all these temporal things. Death takes that away and you go to heaven. There's things that you are not going to be going to carrying. Your spirit, and that's about it. Amen? So we always want to be thinking about kingdom significance. Kingdom significance. And I want to throw this in, you know, right now before I don't want to skip over this. When I say that, you have to do this in faith. Because if you hear a word like this, and then you're like, okay, I'm not watching any TV, I'm not watching any internet, I'm not doing anything fun, and the devil will help you. Because I've been down this road. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to do things for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And then I start getting into it, and it's just like, it's like works, man. And the devil, as soon as you, as soon as you want to do something fun, the devil, what does he say? Oh, you better not do that. You're going to miss it. You better not do that. You better not enjoy this because you're going to miss something that the Holy Ghost is going to give you. So it's very important when we begin to make these life decisions, these decisions that are going to open us up to the fullness of God, we make them in faith. We don't go away from the things of this world in fear, but we go towards God in faith. That is huge. Because if you don't do it that way, and it's like, no, I can't have this world, I want to just read my Bible, that's not a good place to be. Because the devil can really, really get you in works. He can get you out of the power of God. He can get you out of grace, and we do not want to be there. Amen? Hallelujah. So, it's an incredible privilege to serve in the kingdom of God. An incredible privilege to serve in the kingdom of God. But is it a sacrifice? Is that a sacrifice? I think about, you know, again, I'll give you another example. And I got another quote for you. Have you heard of David Livingston? David Livingston. And he was back in the 1800s, I believe. And it's really cool because of David Livingston, we have Matilda. Because the country, he was Scottish, and he was a missionary, and he went to Africa, and he came to Zambia, which where Matilda is from, and he began to plow and pioneer this incredible work, began to go into villages, go into places where Jesus was not even close to being, and it was a tremendous ministry. It was absolutely tremendous, and because of his work, we've got Matilda. Amen? So I kind of got a soft place in my heart for this guy because he brought me my little sister. Amen? But this guy is amazing. I mean, the things that he did and some of the exploits that we're talking, he had to stare down a lion, and he got in a fight with a lion in this jungle. And I mean, he's got villagers coming after him, trying to kill him. I mean, we're talking about a tremendous amount of faith. This guy is staying alive, right? And he has this quote, and I want to read this to you, talking about sacrifice. If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? Now, that's good. If a commission by earthly king is considered an honor. Oh, yes, king, yes, I'll go to the ends of the earth for you. How can a commission by a heavenly king, talking about God, be considered a sacrifice? Amen? Kind of puts things in context. Talking about sacrifice. Because you know, I mean, to put it in today's terms, if President Trump calls you on the phone, right? The leader of the free world calls you on the phone, says, hey, so-and-so, I've got a job for you. I want you to go over to Russia, and I want you to take a team, and I want you to evangelize, and I want you to repair the relations between their country and our country. What would you say? You say, well, you know, okay, here's the thing. Kids got soccer. President Trump, kids got soccer, okay? And then, of course, you know, we always get together on Saturday night as a family. We all come together. We just do that. So can I get back with you? Is that what you're going to tell the president? No, you're not going to tell the president that. You're going to say what? Yes, sir, right? I absolutely will go to that, if it's, you know, sanctioned by the Holy Spirit, obviously. I will go to that country. I will help repair relations between us and Russia, and I will absolutely do it. But how in the world is that anything different than, like, if you get a word from Pastor Gene or a corporate word that comes forth and it's prophetic and it's the kingdom of God and we get excited, but we don't do it? How is that any different? Because what he's quoting is saying what? If somebody like President Trump, it's considered an honor. Yes, sir, I'll go to Russia. God does that very thing and speaks directly to us, but yet it's a sacrifice. You know what I'm talking about? And things that we give up that we think are so huge that are nothing. Nothing. Over in the country of Nepal, we think Americans have the market cornered on Christianity. And I'd almost say it's the opposite. As I've been to 2-3 countries, I would almost say it's the opposite. There are many things that the body of Christ in America does absolutely. I'm talking about everybody that we do exceptionally well. But there are a lot of things. There are a lot of blind spots. There are a lot of things that we don't understand, and sacrifice is one of them. I mean, we're talking about men, that Bible school that we taught at. And these guys are getting spit on. They're getting yelled at because they're ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single time they speak the gospel, there's the potential to get thrown in jail. Over there in China, I've heard stories, and actually I remember Lester Sumrall listening to a message that he was preaching one time, and he said, and we're talking about Lester Sumrall, man of God, right? Lester Sumrall is a man of God. He goes over to China and sees the church in China, and he said, when I got into those churches and I got amongst those people, he said, I felt like a backslidden sinner. Man of God, talking about the church in a communist country. Talking about sacrifices and what we feel is so big. When in reality, it's nothing. Amen? There was a little trick that the Holy Spirit showed me, and it's kind of, you know, well, let's just go there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And this is the great faith chapter. We find verse 35. Women, talking about all these people of faith, and then kind of towards the end of the chapter talks about what they went through. Women, verse 35, received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death by the sword. And the Holy Spirit kind of led me to do something. He said, all those things that you consider a sacrifice, I want you to put that in the middle of that scripture. You considered a sacrifice. I want you to put it right smack in the right in the middle. I said, yes, sir. Here we go. You ready? Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They didn't watch TV for a whole week. They were sawn in two. Kind of puts things in perspective. Amen? We could go on. You know, we could say, hey, others experienced mockings, scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They fasted Facebook for a whole week. They were sawn in two. Come on. Come on. Amen. It kind of puts things in a different perspective. We set the moon when we show up, 75% of Wednesday night services throughout a year. Come on. Amen. Or we put something aside and we consider it a sacrifice. But in the light of things that are going on in this world that used to happen, what is it? Amen. Now, I'm not encouraging us to get sawn in two and to get beaten. That's not what I'm saying. But I am trying to help us understand what our sacrifice looks like. Because that really had been really convicting me when I got back from Nepal. And there were some things that I cut out of my life because of the church that I saw over there in that country. You can put your own thing in there later. We want to be committed to the process. I want to get this out. In 2 Peter, we're not going to turn there, but in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 5, it talks about, and pastor's been ministering on that, and it talks about, I read that as a process. And he's talking about add to your diligence and add to, all those things that you're talking about adding to. But the word that is used is divine nature. In the Amplified, it talks about a dynamic spiritual life. And I saw that and I saw, man, that seems so, I want that. Am I living a dynamic spiritual life? Because if I'm not, Holy Spirit, help me. And he showed me that it's the process that unfolds the purpose. Amen? So be committed to the process and God will unfold the plan. See, a lot of times, we're talking about destiny, talking about purpose, all those things sound big, all those things sound amazing, and we get out way out, and we go to a conference, and we got the shirt, and we're doing all these things, and I hear a great word on YouTube, and you're all excited, and it's awesome, and it really is awesome because we're stirred up. Amen? But then we go back to whatever we're doing on Monday, and the devil's like, what are you doing? That's so meaningless. That's so menial. Like you're riding high, and you're like, I will do it for Jesus Christ. And then you get back, and you're like, you're cutting grass. And the Lord was showing me the disconnect that the Christians have between their vision, what his plan and his purpose, and what they're doing right now in the process. Because the process is just as important as the purpose. So don't let the devil make you think that what you're doing means nothing. Because it does mean something. Because he wouldn't be whispering that in your ear if it didn't. He wouldn't spend the time. If he knew that housewives can change the course of this world from their living room, why would he whisper that kind of stuff? Come on. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. And he started when he was like 50 years old. Right? I'd say he got used by God. Do not let the devil make you think or let you think that what you're doing is not a part of your purpose, is not part of your divine calling that God has put you into. Because what the devil will try to do is to make the things of the world real big and very important and the things of God very small and very meaningless. I remember a story. I'm going to tell this real quick. I remember, there was a couple that came, and it was like right around Christmas, and I remember Pastor Jean got a word of knowledge, and they came up, and she just had a word of knowledge that we were supposed to bless them, and it was going to be awesome, and I mean, praise God, those people got touched, their lives were changed, God touched them, amen. Now, what they did with it, that's entirely up to them, but God reached out his hand of mercy and grabbed them on that day. It was so powerful, but I don't remember. I do remember what happened right here, up here, powerful in front of all the people. But really what stuck with me was what happened back there. Talking about meaningless stuff, talking about devil acting like big stuff doesn't matter. Because their kids were starting to act up and they were uncomfortable, and you could tell that they needed to get disconnected from mom and dad in order for mom to get dad to receive. And so we took the kids back. There was like two or three of them. And we took the kids back, and it was John and Kevin. I think it was John and somebody else. And basically it was like, man, we need these kids to hang out here and just be here. And they were not easy. They were not easy at all. They were insecure. They were upset. It was not good. And you know what John did? In the back, he took those kids, gave them a hug, loved on them, gave them Jesus. I love you guys. And it was like they felt comfortable. And I kept looking back at that door, waiting to see somebody coming through, the kids bringing back. And those kids never came back into the sanctuary. And I say that story because in the eyes of some people in this world, the fireworks happen right here. But how was God any less pleased of what happened in the back room in order to make these fireworks happen? Because see, the devil is going to act like you're just insignificant. And the little things that you're doing is insignificant. And the prayer time that you're, extra prayer time that you're spending isn't really amounting to much. You know what I'm saying? And he wants to really, really drive that home. But if we're walking out the plan and the purpose for God, that divine purpose that God has for us, we know even the little things mean a lot. We're going to be very surprised when we get to heaven. We're going to be very surprised. You're in what house? Where's your mansion? Like what worldwide ministry were you a part of? Right? Can I get an amen? So we want to be committed to the process, and God will unfold the plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Zoe life is a fun life. Everybody say fun life. Say it again. Say fun life. Say Zoe life is a fun life. That's another lie of the devil. So he's trying to act like that verse 1039. It's just like, buddy, you're signing basically your life over, which you are. But everything that you want, everything that you think is fun is no more. And now God's got you. Isn't that what he tries to do? That's why devil has advertised that for years. That's why people will come into church and it's just like, yeah, it's just, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I just, it's not going to be any fun. But we know at this church that God is fun. Hallelujah. God is fun. And when we're walking in the fullness of that Zoe life, it's going to be really fun. One more story. When I went over to Nepal, and I think I mentioned this on the Sunday, about how, you know, we went to Nepal, we flew to Dubai, and then I went to Washington, D.C. afterwards. And I had the privilege of praying in the very house chamber where the president spoke to the nation for the very first time. I mean, I was in there prophesying and praying in the Holy Ghost. It was me and like four or five other people for 2 hours. I took a little lunch break, but then I came back. Talking about Holy Ghost time, man. Like in the place, in the seat where laws are made, where it's happening, where it's going down, and me, an extension of this church, is in that place. It was awesome. Then I met Sean Spicer, and you guys saw, I think most of you saw the picture, and I got to, I laid my hand on him. It was just absolutely incredible for a man that powerful to, you know, I'm taking a picture. And then he looks up at me like he was receiving something from me, you know. I wasn't even thinking spiritual. But yet the Holy Spirit had it all planned out. Again, back to the, you know, design and purpose. He had it all planned out. So I told all that. But what I didn't say was that a couple weeks before we were leaving to go to Nepal, I had it in my mind, actually a month, that, you know, we're flying to Nepal. We could go to Dubai, but we could go back through London. And in London, about 2 hours north, is a soccer team. A really good soccer team. my favorite soccer team, the Liverpool Reds. And I watch them, not religiously, but I watch them pretty well. And so I have this whole plan figured out. I'm thinking, Holy Ghost, here's the deal. I go over to Nepal and I'm used of you, right? I'll be your mouthpiece. I'll speak the oracles of God in Nepal. Bless the people. Great things will happen. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And then when I'm done doing your work, you guys with me? I'll just go and you'll give me the desires of my heart. And I mean, I had it all planned out. And I'm talking to Mom. I said, Mom, forget about Dubai. I'm going to London. Hallelujah. See Big Ben. See my soccer team. Let's do this. Amen? I had it all planned out. I had it all together. And so I'm looking up soccer tickets, and I'm getting that, And I'm looking up flights, and I'm getting the, And I'm thinking, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You trying to steal from me, and you will steal no longer. You are not going to steal my joy. You are not going to steal my desires and affections. So I go to bed, and I get up in the morning. What did I do? I look at those tickets, man. Looking at tickets, and it's just like, ugh. Goes on and on and on. That went. It went longer than what it should have, to be honest with you. I should have known, like, the first day. We're done. So finally, Mom's like, I got to know if you're going to London, if you're going to Dubai. I need to know. So I put it off all the way to the end, right? All the way to the end. That's not good. I don't suggest that. I put it all the way to the end. And then in the morning, Mom's like, I can't go to London. Holy Spirit doesn't want me to go to London. I don't know why he doesn't want to. I didn't have an attitude like that. I was just like, you know what? I kind of wanted to go. I was like, but you know what? Praise God. There's a reason. Amen? Amen? But come to find out, when I got to D.C., I understood the reason. Because if I went through London and not through D.C. or Dubai, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did in Washington, D.C. And so the divine purpose and what the fullness of God that I was supposed to walk out, and those tremendous people in power, and it just struck me. I don't know if some of you saw that picture when they were dropping the bombs and they were doing the raid over there, but the picture of all of his cabinet, and there's the president, you know, and the secretary of defense and the joint chiefs of staff, and there in the background, and it numbered them out on CNN as like the most important people around Trump, and there in the background was the man that I put my hand on. And I said, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I made that decision to go there. So that's not it. So there I'm in D.C., and I have that day. You're praying in the Capitol. You meet Sean Spicer. You meet Ben Carson. You know, pictures with those guys. And then I'm done. You know, I'm thinking, Lord, what else? You know, what else you got? So you're going to, you know, give me a radio spot or something, you know? And is there, you know, I'm getting on C-SPAN. And so it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I realize there's a basketball. Wait a minute. This is a pro team town. The Wizards are in town. They play basketball here. They play professional basketball here. And there's a team that the Wizards are playing, and they're called the Warriors. And the Warriors, if you don't know anything about the Warriors, are the best team in basketball. And were the best team in basketball until the last three games last year. They're absolutely incredible. And I watch them when I'm not watching the soccer, right? And so I'm like, Lord, I said, Lord, it sure would be nice to go to that basketball game. And so I go to a restaurant with my brother-in-law, and I go, and I don't condone this, please. But scalpers are a different breed. If you've ever dealt with scalpers, they are not scalpers, they're hustlers. Right? The brothers are trying to make the deals happen, right? So there you going up to them, and there's no ticket. It's sold out. You know that. This is the Warriors are in town. There is no ticket. So we're talking, we go over to this guy, and I'm like, so what you got? And he tells me a price, and I'm like, I don't make that amount of money in a whole month, okay? We're talking like $1,300. Yeah. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of money. I'm like, yeah, and I play this game where it's like, I'm not interested, and then I kind of come back to him like, so what do you think now, man? Game's already started. Let's wheel and deal here. Those tickets were gone. So I did that a couple times with some different people. Those tickets are gone. Those tickets are gone. Those tickets are gone. And I'm like, now, Lord, hang on a second. I did all that stuff, you know, and I check myself. I'm in faith. Finally, I run into this guy. He's like, what you want, man? I said, I want a lower. I want close. He says, all right, I got one. I said, you got one? I got one. He sells this back and forth. He sells this to me. I'm talking to you for a song. We're talking, I'm not going to, it's much, 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 much less than $1,300, right? And I'm thinking, praise God, hallelujah, right? So, but I don't really know where this is. So I get my seat, and the first thing is like it scans, and it's not a fake ticket. Praise God, it's not a fake ticket. Then I keep going down to the lower bowl, the arena, and I'm walking down and down and down, and I'm thinking, where is this seat? And I got about this far from the Wizards bench, and I said, that's my seat right there. Don't tell me God's not fun. Don't tell me that God doesn't care about your desires when you are walking out his fullness, because I put him first, and then what'd he do? He rewarded me. So I get, and then real quickly, I get to my seat, and the guy next to it says, where did you get that ticket? I said, I just bought it from a guy out in the street. I don't know his name. I don't know who he is. I just got it. He says this is, you know it's God. He said, I was on my way into the arena, and I dropped that ticket out of my back pocket. My dad is in the hotel room right now because he couldn't get in the game. You have my dad's ticket, and someone found it and sold it to you. And I'm like, man, you know, what do you do on the outside? But on the inside, I'm doing like, yeah, Holy Ghost, Father God, yeah, that's my daddy. That's my dad. Amen. That's my ticket. He put me in this seat. Amen. Talking about walking out the fullness. Walking out the fullness. So don't ever think, don't ever let the devil tell you that God's not fun. That he won't give you the desires of your heart. When you sign up for this in Matthew 10:39, you're giving everything over. You're giving everything. You are giving things over, but it is going to be an awesome, awesome ride, the fullness of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We serve a good God, and he cares about his kids. I mean, I got in that plane on the way home to D.C., and I started crying because of how good my dad was to me. Amen. I mean, it was absolute. I just, the thought that you would do that for me, Dad, is just incredible. And that is for every single person. That's not somebody special. That's, you know, when guest ministers would come in, and I'm thinking, dude, that is a really good story. There's no way. Those stories are all over this room. Those stories are all over this room. It's just waiting on somebody to give just a little bit more of their life to walk in the fullness of what God has. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. We thank you, Lord, that each of us have destiny. We have a purpose. We have a divine call. Lord, I thank you that you want to get that over to us as we begin to walk in that fullness, as we begin to let some things go that are pretty much stuff that we don't need. We begin to let things go, and we turn to you in faith, and we will do and say and be things that we never thought were possible. Because you, God, you, Father God, are a God of the impossible. You can make that which looks no way for there to be a way. Amen? So we praise you, Lord. We thank you for all these things. We receive this word tonight. We want and desire to be in your perfect will. We're not going to let the devil put us in fear. We're not going to let the devil mess us up. We know that we're faithful and we're humble. Our plan and our purpose will come to pass. And things will unfold and vision will come. And we will see things that we're supposed to walk out in the years to come. And we will not get caught up in the process and think that things that we're doing right now is meaningless. But we, when we get to you, when we see your eyes, our desire is to hear those words. Well done. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have followed my fullness. You have operated in power, and therefore you shall enter into my rest. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's just praise him. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Renewed vision in this place. Things that we dropped, we now see again. You're giving, your mercy is new every single day, Lord. We're going to pick it up this time and we're going to run with it. We're going to do it. That thing that we were kind of tentative about, now I'm moving into it. Now I'm going to begin to walk it out. Not by my power, not by my might, but by your grace, by your power, by your anointing. And the test to know whether I'm doing or not is the smooth. It will just will be like a glass, driving a boat over a glassy sea. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And we just fit our hand, just it fits into that glove just perfect. And we sit down and we know exactly we are where we're supposed to be. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it. Do you believe it? Are you going to walk out the plan? Are you going to fulfill the call? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.